Greetings, Jeremiah and Matt. Welcome.
Okay, so we're going to have our By Yahweh's Design family chat social hour for the 25th of January, 2023, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Very good. And so far, we've got Kumri, and we've got Matt, and we've got Ella. So, all right. Well, everybody doing okay? Can you hear okay there, Kumri? Oops.
Loud and clear.
Ah, okay, loud and clear. You're a little bit on the soft side, so if you go to say something, you're going to have to speak up a little bit.
He's a gentle man.
Mm-hmm. He's doing a lot of research in plants, microgreens. He does a lot of research in hydroponics. He's also looking into how we can create our own painkillers, which the natural way, the different derivatives of the poppy plant. You know, it's funny how the New World Order, they denigrate everything that Yahweh put here to help us. They try to turn it into like it's something we shouldn't have, and it's, you know, if you do it, you're a criminal, and it's going to destroy lives. And yet the pharmaceutical industry, they're famous for destroying lives and putting poisons out. And the reason I bring that up is because Susan, I don't know if she'll be here tonight, but her dad just passed, and it was a rather painful process, and they were giving him morphine, and the morphine was making him very sick and giving him migraine headaches. And she started looking into what was in the morphine, and it was not just plain morphine. It was almost like these vaccines. She started looking at all the toxins that they added to it, and the toxins attacked her dad and made his passing a whole lot more painful and difficult than it would have been if it had been actually just natural, either poppy or morphine. So
that's terrible.
It is terrible. And it's the same thing with marijuana. We've looked into marijuana a lot, and cannabis. It's an actual medicinal herb. It's phenomenally good for us, and yet the powers that be, or should not be, don't want us to have it or use it, and so they use their propaganda mill to make it as if it's evil and we shouldn't grow it. But they're, at the same time, they're spending billions of dollars to these cartels and all that to grow it outside of the norm and sell it to us as an illicit drug so they can make 10, 20, 30 times more profit. And they don't worry about the purity of it the way we would if we grew it. So everything today is a lie. Everything is upside down. And so our own research, just like this thing about eggs, and we're finding out now that the big corporations that produce the feed that the corporate farmers feed the chickens, and some local farmers do too. This one lady, her chickens wouldn't lay eggs for months, and she started feeding them goat feed. Same feed that she was giving her goats, and all of a sudden they got healthier and started producing eggs.
Wow.
So these people are diabolical. But here again, I think it was, who did I listen to? I think it was either Jim Willie or Gerald Celente, somebody like that, did a podcast here, that the number of people looking to get back to a family farm is skyrocketing percentage-wise. It's gone up like 3,000% in the last few months. Because I think the people are finally waking up to the fact that the corporate producers of food are not our friends, and we can't trust anything they put on a label anymore. And so the only way you can be sure that you can feed your family and the quality of what you've got is to grow it yourself.
I had to tell you something, too, when you mentioned eggs. My daughter criticizes me and my son-in-law for stocking up on things. And I read on the internet today, buying groceries, that eggs are some places up to $11 a dozen.
Yes, I heard that
and
today,
what,
too.
What I did about last year is I love eggs. I eat eggs every day. So I stocked up on these Judy's freeze-dried eggs, a couple of pound bags. I bought three of them. Each one was $10. So I have enough eggs in there for, let's see, 36, 72, about 100 and something eggs in there that I paid $30 for. And
wow.
I checked up on the internet on the same product that I paid $10 for is now $59 per bag.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have enough eggs to last me for probably 6 months now from what I bought last year, the freeze-dried ones, and they only cost me $30. And right
yep.
now it cost me probably $200 to replace them.
Well, we learned a long time ago, prepping is something I grew up with because I lived in Amish country. The Amish all have a large pantry. My grandparents on my mother's side were Pennsylvania Dutch, and they did the same thing. They had a farmhouse, and they had dairy cattle. And I remember going into the pantry of my grandfather's farmhouse, and it was the walk-in type closet. I mean, it was huge. You could walk in there, and there were shelves everywhere just full of canned food and smoked meats and all that kind of stuff. I mean, to me, it was just common sense. And that's the way, like, the Amish and all of us that lived in farm country in Pennsylvania, we all know that a storm can come along, a flood, a blizzard, not too many tornadoes, but mostly floods in the spring from the snow melting, and blizzards were commonplace, and you might be stuck for weeks on end. So having food put away, and plus our Israelite ancestors, you read in the Bible, when things are plentiful, you stock up in case there's lean years. I mean, it's just common sense. I know I have one of my sons, one time I was talking to him many years ago, and I asked him if he was putting some stuff away. This might have been before Y2K or something, I don't remember. But I said, are you putting stuff away? And he said, what do you mean putting stuff away? And I said, well, you know, in your pantry, do you store? Oh, no, I stop at the store on the way home from work, and that's what we eat that night. So they didn't have anything as far as a pantry. Nothing. He literally every night stops at a store to pick up what they're going to eat that night. So if the stores were closed, they wouldn't eat. Immediately they would be without food. So we have both extremes. We have the preppers that some preppers I know have like a 3 or 4 year supply of everything. And then you got the other people that don't have even a week's worth of food in their closet.
And I haven't bought any milk for ages. What I do is I buy that Nido whole milk powder, and one can of that lasts me a year.
What kind of milk powder is it?
Nido, N-I-D-O.
N-I-D-O.
The one I bought, actually, the one I bought last year cost me $25 for a can the size of a large coffee brown can. And now the same stuff probably is a lot more. I got another can for the same price, but it's half the size. So the price of that has gone up too. But you don't waste milk. And that milk, when it's freshened up with water and put in the fridge, and you had a glass of regular milk and a glass of that in two different glasses, you couldn't tell the difference.
That's pretty good. Powdered milk. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You wouldn't waste it then. Yeah, wouldn't go bad.
So if you've got the freeze-dried eggs, a box of Bisquick, and the milk, the freeze-dried milk, you can cook forever on that stuff. almost everything you need. Biscuits, pancakes, pies, cakes, cookies, everything.
Right. But, you know, I was talking to my my neighbor, and we were talking about getting some chickens between the two of us today.
Good idea.
So we don't have much land between our homes here. It's in a park. So we have very little land, but fortunately I've got like a single wide, so I've got a little bit more space on my sides. And in the backyard area, there's room. We can actually put a small chicken coop. We might get two or three chickens. And I personally would like to have a rooster with them, because a lot of people don't know it, but a rooster, if the rooster is doing his duty, let's put it that way, with the hens, the eggs are much healthier for you. Okay, you can get by with just regular eggs if you don't have a rooster, but the fertilized eggs, what I found out in class, when the egg gets fertilized, it produces lecithin. And lecithin is what the body uses to break down cholesterol.
Right, it emulsifies cholesterol. I pronounce it lecithin.
Yeah, some people call it lecithin, I call it lecithin. But the point of it is, it is a compound in a natural egg that it does more than just that, because I noticed that the ones that the roosters have been fertilizing the eggs were much darker, much richer tasting, and then you've got the lecithin in there as well. So, I mean, it made sense to me. And besides, in nature, you don't ever find chickens without a rooster. There's always a rooster around. So it makes sense to me that the fertilized eggs are much better for you. And I can attest to the fact, and so can Kumri here, because he was a boy on a farm when we had chickens that were roosters. And the eggs that we cooked up in the kitchen from those hens were the best eggs ever. And even cooking in the pan, you could tell the difference just by the smells and the consistency of the yolk, and even the whites were different. Just healthier eggs, and the taste was phenomenal. And again, like my grandfather ate anywhere from 6 to 12 eggs every morning of his life, and he lived up into his 80s. He would have lived longer, but when he was in his 60s, he had a rope around one of the cows, and the cow got scared and took off running, and it drug him through part of the pasture and up over an area that where we stored the rocks that we had removed from pasture fields. And so he got drug up over this big pile of rocks, and it tore up his spine. He used to be straight as a board. His back, he was over 6 feet tall back in the day, and he stood straight as an arrow his whole adult life until the cow got a hold of him and drug him over that pile, and then he was all hunched over, and his health was never quite the same. But again, he ate bacon, he ate meats, he ate eggs every morning of his life, and he never had a problem with heart attacks or cholesterol, none of that stuff.
Well, I can add something to that.
Even old hens my age like roosters around.
Go ahead, Kumri. You had your hand up. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add the whole cholesterol thing, strokes and heart attack relation is 100% unfounded. There is no medical, scientific, peer-reviewed paper that has ever once proven high cholesterol links to heart attacks or strokes. And one of the reasons why is because even if you were to eat 10 eggs a day, all right, and you were counting your cholesterol, you aren't even touching, you're not even grazing the amount of cholesterol your liver makes on a daily basis just to keep you alive. Your liver dictates the amount of cholesterol in you, not what you eat. So if you really want to affect the cholesterol, then you should either A, shut off your liver, which is stupid, or B, take a drug that's going to cause the liver to not produce cholesterol, which will eventually kill you anyway. But the need of cholesterol in the human body is so large that you would want a little more of it. And I think the paper I read, it said something to the fact that the liver produces like 3,000 grams of cholesterol every day. You're not even going to get close to, quote, overeating cholesterol when you're trying to combat the liver that's producing 3,000 grams of it daily just to keep you alive and to make sure everything's running. You need cholesterol to make sure you don't get MS. You need cholesterol to make sure your brain functions. You need cholesterol to do any sort of tissue repair. So if you're trying to reduce your cholesterol, you're essentially trying to kill yourself.
It's yeah, everything's upside down. Everything's upside down. Ella's got her hand up. Go ahead, Ella.
Yes, I wanted to add something to what Jeremiah said is absolutely correct. But when it is true that when a person comes into the hospital and has a heart attack or a myocardial infarction or whatever you want to call it, their cholesterol will be sky high. But do you know the reason why it's sky high? It's because cholesterol, besides the things that Jeremiah has said, which is absolutely true, cholesterol is the substance in your body that heals your arteries and veins when they get damaged. So when you have a heart attack, your cholesterol, your liver is going to produce more cholesterol in order to heal the area in your heart that's damaged. That's why your cholesterol is high when you have a heart attack. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So we absolutely all need cholesterol because if your cholesterol is too low, you die. And statin drugs will kill your liver. Okay.
Yep.
I yield.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And when you're done, take your hand down if you would. That way I'll know if you want to come back in. And,
oh, okay, I got it.
Some platforms let me go ahead and lower the hand, but this one doesn't. On Zoom, I can do that. Yeah, that's all great information. Health is going to be so important because, first of all, we all know because of the past 3 years that doctors in the hospitals and in the medical mafia in general lie to us all the time. And we also know now that they're going to attack us via the food chain. They're going to contaminate some of the food or like what they're doing with the chickens by contaminating their feed. They're not laying the eggs. They're destroying chickens with so-called bird flu, which is another, just like COVID, it's a non-existent bullshit story, to cover their tracks for destroying the food chain. So it doesn't mean that some animals get sick, but the levels that they're telling us is just ludicrous. The point of it is that because they control so much of what goes on, they're going to cut back our ability to have access to food, especially the foods that will keep us healthy. And so it becomes imperative for us all to grow as much as you can grow at your home. And I have books, electronic books if people need them, that talk about how you can grow a lot of food, believe it or not, a lot of food in a very small footprint on your property. In fact, there's one book that talks about how people that live in condominiums and apartments even, you can put grow towers on your balconies, you can put grow towers in your sunrooms, and if it's just you or just a couple, you can grow pretty easily enough food to keep you alive, healthy food. So, you know, again, because the store-bought stuff isn't good for us anyway. I mean, it's got so much crap in it, so many dyes and preservatives and all this other stuff that's very harmful to us. Go ahead, Ella. You got your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, I've read on the internet now that They're not liking it too well because there are a lot of people not going to doctors anymore because they've been getting screwed by doctors, not literally. But so people have been turning more and more to homeopathic and naturopathic medicines and things that they can buy on the internet, you know, for sleep, pain, and, you know, the things that they've been using for years and years and years healthy without going to doctors. Well, the government now is trying to make those things illegal. So a good thing would be if you can find some good homeopathic, naturopathic remedies online, and you can get them at a fairly good price now, because you might not be able to get them 6 months from now. I yield.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, good advice. I've told people for years, besides your foods and your weapons and ammunition and a filtration system for clean water, you want to have a decent supply of herbs, medicinal herbs, and even better would be buying the heirloom seeds to grow your own. I've been buying every chance I get. I go to these companies that are offering specials on, like, packages of different herbs to grow for the kitchen, different herbs to grow for medicinal properties, different plants like the neem tree, the moringa tree, the lemon tree, avocados. All of these are tremendously good for our bodies. In fact, the moringa tree in South American and Central American cultures is considered almost a sacred tree because it is so medicinal. And I planted one here in my backyard, so it's kind of neat. You just go out and strip off three or four of the leaves and just eat them. It has almost like a horseradish. In fact, some people call it the horseradish tree. It'll taste like a weak form of horseradish, but the medicinal properties of the moringa plant is tremendous. And then the neem tree, N-E-E-M, neem, the neem tree is the tree that our ancestors used to take the twigs off of and use to clean their teeth. And the oils in the stem and the oils in the leaf, the neem oil, is highly effective to help reduce plaque and to heal the gums. In fact, my natural toothpaste I use is loaded with neem oil, and you can feel the effects of that neem oil on your gums. You can really feel it, and you can tell that your body is craving it, that it's an actual very good thing. So back before there was a dentist, back before there was toothpaste and toothbrush, things like neem trees are what our ancestors used, and they had extremely healthy gums and teeth. Now, some people didn't take care of themselves. That's the ones that everybody talks about. Oh, back in the day, they had terrible teeth. Look at this skeleton here. His teeth are all rotting out. Well, guess what? We've got dentists all over the place and modern toothpaste and mouthwash and all that, and you can still find people with teeth falling out of their head because they don't take care of themselves. And so thousands of years ago, it was the same way. Some people take care of themselves, some people don't. I had an engineer that worked with me from India, and when he smiled, it was it almost hurt your eyes because his teeth were so white and clean and shiny. And I asked him, you know, what kind of toothpaste do you use? And he just smiled, and he says, we don't use toothbrushes and toothpaste. And I said, wait a minute. How the hell did you get such beautiful white teeth and keep them that way? Because he was in his late 20s at that time. I said, how do you do that? And that's when he said, you know, they take things like neem and there's other trees that'll do it. He said, you just take a little twig off there and clean between your teeth like a toothpick and clean all that stuff out there and rub your teeth, and then take the leaves and crumble them up and rub your teeth and then chew it. Get the oils out of the leaf and let them absorb into the gums and then just swallow it, because the leaves in the stomach are also good for digestion. So again, our Heavenly Father, that's the beautiful thing that you're finding out. Our Heavenly Father put everything we need in the woods and in our yards, if we just know what they look for. And this world, new world order has turned everything upside down to where they're telling you the very things he put here to help us be healed. For instance, sage, they say sage is a weed, and everybody knows sage is a very medicinal plant and very cleansing and very good for you. Same thing with dandelion. Oh, you don't want those nasty dandelion in your yard. Really? Dandelion is like a miracle plant. You should be glad you got dandelion. Get out there and dig those dandelion up and put them in your salad. I think every part of a dandelion, from the seeds to the bulb to the stems to the leaves, is medicinal. So again, you know, they tell us one thing and you find out they're liars. And really, if we have everything we need from our Father and it doesn't even cost us anything, all we got to do is walk outside in the yard or go into the local woods, like ginseng and different things like that. When it grows wild in the woods, a lot of people don't know this, but when we domestically raise things like ginseng, it's not nearly as strong as what grows wild. And people say, well, why would it make a difference? Think about this for a minute. When things grow in the wild, they have to compete with other plants to exist. So what does that do? It's natural selection. So the strongest ginseng plants are the ones that are in the woods, the strongest ones, the ones that grew the tallest and had the most health to keep the bugs off of them and everything else and survive. So in the wild, if you harvest the ginseng there, it's going to be probably anywhere from 5 to 7 times stronger than domestically raised ginseng. So it's a little tidbit that we learned from our instructors when I took those classes. Something to keep in mind. If you can identify the plants in the woods, it's going to help out a lot. Now, Kumri here in the chat says here his toothpaste has charcoal powder and eggshells. Yeah, I've got some of that. I have another toothpaste that has bentonite clay, which is also good for us and helps to strip plaque and brighten our teeth. Another thing, I have a homemade mouthwash that has like essential oils, coconut oil, and clove. The same cloves that your mom put in the Sunday ham, those little cloves, you put whole cloves into the this bottle that I have for mouthwash and let it diffuse into the water. You find out that clove is a little bit like neem. It's very healthy for the digestive tract. It's very healthy for your gums and your teeth. But the other thing interesting about clove, if you're a little older and you've got sensitivity to cold or certain foods, a clove acts just like Novocaine. So by having the clove diffused into the water that you're rinsing through your mouth, you're actually putting a very low dose Novocaine across your teeth and gums to help reduce any kind of inflammation or sensitivity issues. So again, it's beautiful. You don't need science. You don't need chemical companies. You don't need pharmaceuticals. You just got to learn what our Father put there, and it takes care of everything else. Ella put in here, if you don't have, like we were talking about here, these different special mouthwashes, at the very minimum, you should rinse your mouth out a couple of times a day with good old-fashioned Himalayan salt and water. Because again, salt is very, very good for the gums and teeth, and Himalayan salt, I believe it is 57 minerals. It's got the highest concentration of minerals of all the natural salts. So pink Himalayan salt is the top of the chart. It's got the 57 essential and non-essential, trace elements that you need to stay healthy. And so it would make the perfect saltwater rinse. When I do it, I rinse it for about a minute or two in my mouth, and then I just swallow it because I want that salt in my system. Let's see, Kumri says here, the natural American ginseng, especially wild Pennsylvania ginseng, gets top dollar in Japan and China. It's worth more than its weight in gold. See, there again, yeah, and the Orientals, like the lady that I talked about on one of my radio shows who had a MD degree and she gave it up and became a acupuncturist back in China, they will tell you that they understand that many of the things we ignorant Americans take for granted or even call weeds, like sage. Sage is extremely sought after in Europe and in the Orient because they know it's actually very cleansing and very good for you. And yet most Americans put poisons on their yards trying to kill it. Same thing with comfrey and other plants, extremely good for us. And yet they've convinced us that they're not good for us. They're just an ugly weed and we need to kill it. I mean, sometimes the ignorance of our people is dumbfounding to me. It really is. Absolutely dumbfounding. I'm going to go ahead and yield here. I've been talking for quite a bit. So does somebody else have something they want to bring up? Okay. I did want to also talk about the fact I've been getting a lot of phone calls from our people that are having a lot of issues. Even some of the strongest believers I know lately, they're having a lot of issues with depression, anxiety. We have to recognize that these things are being done to us on purpose by the quote, powers that should not be, and stress. I used to have to take stress management classes because I worked in nuclear power, and we were under a lot of stress at times because of the nature of the power plant and the dangers that we faced every time we went out to work, between high-pressure steam, radiation, fire, all those things could kill you almost instantly, some of them. A lot of people don't know this, but very high-pressure steam, especially the kind that we have in power plants, it is so powerful, it could cut you in two. If there was a leak in a pipe and you didn't notice it and you walked into the stream of that steam escaping that pipe, it would cut you in half and you wouldn't even see it. You might hear it, but you would not see it because by the time it condenses and you see that plume, it's many feet from the pipe. So very high pressure steam, high temperature, high pressure steam is extremely dangerous. Many of the operators used to carry a mop, a wet mop with them when they had to walk up by the steam lines to look for something, and they would wave the mop in front of them. And if the mop disappeared, then they knew that they were near a steam leak. It was that serious. So my point was that caused a lot of stress because of all that, plus the management always on us to get things done faster than humanly possible. And so we had to take stress management classes. So the thing that I remember the most about stress is anything that makes a change in your life is going to create stress. It doesn't matter what the change is. For instance, the birth of a baby is stressful, and it creates the same amount of stress as the death of a baby. A marriage creates the same amount of stress as a divorce, even though you would say, well, wait a minute, one of them is like happy and good, but it's a change. The fact that you're changing the routine, you're changing your surroundings or your routine, that's what creates the stress, is these outside factors that are changing something in the normal routine. And again, I'll allude to when I was in the Air Force or working at nuclear power, the change would be the fact that every day you went to work, you didn't know what you were going to be doing. So you came into work with a blank slate. To you, your norm was that you're going to go in and sit down and have a cup of coffee and wait for the boss to hand out the jobs. And as soon as he gave you a job, now you have introduced a change. You're not just a blank slate sitting there wondering what's going to happen. Now you have responsibilities. You got to get the job done. You got to troubleshoot the system. You have to fix the system. You have to calibrate the system. And you've got management on you, and you've got the operators watching you, and you've got the security people watching you. All these things are factors that create tremendous stress. And sometimes long hours can add to that as too, if you're working extra hours. So stress management, which is what? Plenty of good sleep. You got to have that. You got to have a good diet. You have to be in shape, believe it or not. Physically fit people can handle stress much better than somebody who's lazy and malformed and 60, 70, 80 pounds overweight. You're not going to be able to handle the stress as well as the person who's fit and healthy. So again, it behooves us, especially today with what they're doing to us, it behooves us to be in the best shape we can possibly be in and learn the things like Ella and Kumri and everybody else here has been talking about. Learn how to get the proper foods into your system, because they will help you deal with these things. And speaking of stress, one of the best things I ever invested in is I took a course on Dr. Bach and his essences of flowers. They're called the Bach Flower Remedies. And I think there was 25 or so of these particular flowers that he learned that he could distill the essence of those flowers and put them in these purified water and bottles. And you could take, depending on what your anxiety was being driven by, you could take certain flower essences and like put three or four of them by dropper into these bottles and make up what we called a remedy. And you just take an eyedropper full and put it under your tongue and let those flower essences go into your body. And it worked. It worked. Some of our people had stress because they had to go to court. Some people had stress because they were going to have to give a speech in front of a class. Dr. Bach, B-A-C-H is how you spell his name, B-A-C-H. Dr. Bach had formed a questionnaire, and I still have copies of it. And if the person would fill out the questionnaire, the answers to the questions would tell you which of the flowers that person needed. And again, you could buy a kit, and the kits would have all of the different essences in it. And then you had instructions on how you could make up a bottle of remedy for somebody that was having a problem. And so it's almost always an emotional issue for the Bach flowers. But the thing I loved about them is they worked. They worked. All of my friends, all of my families that ever used the Bach flower, including myself, they worked. So, again, we've been given beautiful, totally natural, non-intrusive, non-harmful remedies for almost every ailment we've got. There's a meme going around right now that's really neat, and it says, every illness known to man, there's a plant that will help you deal with it. Every illness that you can think of, there is something that grows in God's green earth that can help you deal with it. And yet people today think they got to run to the pharmacy. The pharmacy would be the last place I would run to. I just don't know what's wrong with people today. They don't question anything. They don't think outside the box. It's just amazing to me. I'm going to shut up for a minute. Does anybody have anything they want to either discuss, ask, report? Again, I'm going to record this and put it up and make it available. So if you got a message for our believing family out there that you believe they need to hear, this is a good platform to do it. So I'm going to yield and see if anybody has anything.
I want to say something about stress. Sometimes if you stop watching the news and reading the news for a little while, that's real helpful.
Yep, that's a good point. You're right. I don't. My television is used as a flag stand. I've got my Air Force and American Legion flag draped over it, so it's just a flag stand. And the only thing I ever turn it on for is if there's a DVD of something I want to watch on it, then I'll go ahead and turn it on and use it for that. But you're right. I gave up watching mainstream television because I got to be honest with you. I don't know how anybody watches that shit. I really don't. I go to see like my neighbors or something, get the TV on, and just a few minutes I'm there, what I'm seeing and hearing, it's so aggravating. I can't even imagine the people that have that damn thing on all day long.
Yep. Tell my son about that.
Did you say something, Jennifer?
Well, yeah, my son needs to know about that. He leaves his TV on all day long for his dog.
For his dog?
He leaves it on to keep his dog company.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That's not the first time I've heard of this.
What?
It's not the first time I've heard of this.
Oh, okay. Oh, brother.
You know, speaking of animals, I'm going to step on toes here with this one, but what is it with our people and their fixation with animals? I still haven't figured it out yet, and it's gotten really bad in the last 10 years.
Because they love you back.
That's yeah. All well and good, but I've got friends and relatives, you would swear that they think that animal is a person.
Well, they've come to replace the children, haven't they? For a lot of people nowadays.
Well, that is one thing I have noticed, Matt, and you're right. As I'm trying to analyze why this abnormal, and again, my dear sister, she's departed now, but she falls into this category, and so does my niece, her daughter. They have an unnatural relationship with these animals. I mean, literally, they treat them better than I think they treat children or other people. And I believe Matt hit the nerve, because what I'm finding out when I find older, middle-aged, whoever it is, men or women that are fixated on their animals, they don't have a relationship with a person. They've used the relationship with the animal to take the place of people, and there's probably a thousands of reasons why that would be, but the point is still the same. Like I know one of my family members, they're in their 30s, they don't have any children, but they've got dogs, two huskies and a chihuahua type dog, and they treat those dogs as if they are living members of the family. It's unbelievable. And yet, you know, like I said, it's to me, it's unnatural when it gets to that level, because we're supposed to have an affinity for our fellow Israelites and our own children and our own families is where we're supposed to. So why have we allowed the enemy to destroy cohesion of our families to the point where people have to reach out to animals to have a quote meaningful relationship? What the hell is going on? that that's happening. I still can't, like I said, I think Matt is pretty close to it, at least from what I have observed.
I would agree with that, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, my children, they always had pets, cats and dogs, and one time we had a rabbit. But after my nest was empty, that's when I started really loving my pets. You know, before it was just my children's pets. But so that does make sense that they're using that as a substitute.
Yeah, it's like a crutch. Which, again, if you're in a position where a physical relationship is difficult because of either health or circumstances, okay, there's a therapy in a relationship with an animal. Like when I was a boy, we had the dogs. Like Shane of the Meadows was our collie. And he did act like a part of the family, but he did not sleep in our beds. He did not come into the house and eat dinner with us. he stayed outside, and he liked it, okay? He wanted to be outside. But we respected him for his role as a protector and friend to the family. We still had relationships with each other, but Shane... he took it upon himself to always escort us up the long country road that we had, especially in the dark of winter. He would make sure there were no bears in the woods or any other dogs and things like that. He would escort us up to get the bus, and he would come up there when the bus came to bring us home. He could hear the engine. His ears would perk up, and he knew the sound of the school bus engine, and when he heard it, he would go running up to the end of the lane and escort us to the house. So I'm not saying that it's wrong to have these animals for functions. Like I said, he was a guard dog, he was a friend, and he a playmate, etc. If we were fighting as kids, he'd nip us in our butts right there at the back belt loop on our pants, and he'd pull us off each other. He wouldn't let us fight each other. So again, I'm not trying to say they don't have a place, but it's just that I see some people, rather than work on a physical relationship with another person, it's almost like the drug addiction thing with painkillers and things like that. Rather than dealing with life, they pop a pill or put a substance in their body so they can just escape it. And it's almost the same thing with these animals. Rather than dealing with people and the fact that they're going to disappoint you and you're going to have arguments once in a while, so rather than deal with that, I'm going to put all my attention into this animal because the animal can't talk. The animal can't back talk. The animal's not going to give me attitude. Well, some cats do and a few dogs. But
my granddaughter cat back talks me, so that's...
Exactly. So, you know, but here again, we have to understand that that's what's going on. Okay. It's okay if you want to go chill out and have your cat or your dog or your rabbit or whatever it is that you're, but you can't let it take over for working on relationships that we have, because sometimes we have too much expectation. And that brings me up to another point. I think part of what the enemy did to us was when they came out with romance novels, and then when television came out with the soap operas. Because what they did was create situations that are not natural. They created these love stories and situations where you could just, it's almost like pornography, when, like guys in particular, when they get addicted to pornography. Well, that's why, because in the pornography, they can live their fantasy and everything is fine. Where in real life, you're probably not going to find a woman who's going to fit the mold of whatever you dreamed up in your pornography fantasy. It's the same idea, okay? So we've fallen into this trap where Babylon has given us this stuff. We have to have enough sense to know that instead of it controlling us, we should control it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I get upset when I see these false things, whether it's a relationship with an animal or any of these other things. When those things control us and control what we say and do, that's not healthy. It's okay if it's there as a aid or a part of our life, but when it controls our life, now you're into an area that I think is dangerous. That's just my opinion. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that? I yield.
Well, this is Jennifer. I have two cats in the house right now because it's so, I don't know about, you're in Florida, but it's so cold here, probably like where Melissa is, and the male doesn't even want to go back outside. So, I mean, he's an outdoor cat, but, you know, I'm not going to kick him out. But unfortunately, he might wake me up in the middle of the night and want to go out. But I, you know, Diane sleeps pretty much, he sleeps by my feet most of the night unless it's really, really, really cold in the apartment. But
well, it's, yeah, it's like my son, okay, he and his wife have three young children, and they're under a lot of stress right now because they've been homeschooling the children. They've gone through a major move. And I'm talking to him one night, and he was telling me about, I can't get good sleep. I said, well, what's causing the problem? He goes, well, the damn cat will sit there and meow and scratch at the door and wake us up. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you're under stress. You need sleep. You're not getting sleep because of a cat? He said, well, yeah. And I said, why don't you put the cat in the garage?
Right.
So he did. So I talked to him about a week later. I said, how are things going? He goes, oh, man, I feel a lot better now. And I said, well, what happened? He said, oh, I did what you said. At night, instead of letting the cat sit there and meow and scratch at the door and wake me up, I put him out in the garage. He's got a litter box, he's got water, he's got food, but put him out in the garage where he can't do that. Yeah. And besides that, the cat was getting the dog worked up, and then the dog was in the middle of the night running around and tearing things up and stuff. So now the cat's in the garage and the dog is sleeping all night long, and there's more peace in his household. That's what I'm talking about. You know, if you've got, like he has, a wife and three kids, and you're dealing with the stresses of life, especially today, you can't allow an animal to disrupt your family. So it's just simply move the cat out to the garage and let him sleep out there. It's not going to hurt the cat. I grew up with cats and dogs and other animals on the farm. I'm going to tell you something. I know we like to think of them as little babies and children, but they're not. They're animals. They grew up in the wild. They know how to handle things. We like to baby them like they're little babies, but they're not people. They don't like you were saying that somebody leaves the TV on for their dog or their cat or whatever. They don't need that.
Insane.
We may think they need that, but they don't need that.
I know.
Sometimes the problem is discipline too, just like we have with our children. I noticed my son is not disciplining his children the way that he should, and I've told him about that. I said, You are yelling and screaming and wanting the children to behave. I said, when's the last time you spanked them? Well, you got to be careful because the neighbors might. I said, look, you can't worry about that. You're going to have problems with these children as they get older if you don't discipline them. That's what the Bible says. Spare the rod and spoil the child. You're going to have your hands full, and it's going to be a nightmare if you don't teach discipline in that family. And the same thing with the animals. I've noticed that animals will try to get away with things almost like children, unless you discipline them. And once you discipline them, a lot of times they stop. Once you establish who the boss is and what the boundaries are, they behave much better. But if you don't establish the boundaries, then they run the household instead of you. Just some thoughts. Because we're all under a lot of stress. I mean, this world, like I said, is upside down. And it's creating tremendous amounts of stress. And that's why I told my son, I said, you're the head of your household, buddy. I said, you have to keep those children under control, and you have to keep those animals under control. That's your job. When you and your wife come through the door of that house, there should be peace in that house. When I was a boy, there was a saying that children should be seen and not heard. Okay? And the elders of the family that I grew up amongst, I'm going to tell you, they took that seriously. If you came in from outside, most of the relatives I had lived on farms, so we had plenty of places to go play and yell and scream and all that, but not in the house. When we came through the front door of the house, we were expected to be quiet, to be seen but not heard. And if we didn't follow that rule, we found out real quick who was in charge of that house. So.
When I lived in Carrizozo, I had a park model out there, and then I had this little office trailer that was out there. And my husband and my son are both musicians, and I just stayed in the park model and cooked and, you know, and made dinner and all that. And I you know, I didn't want them in the you know, the park model while I was cooking, so they just go and practice music, you know, in the other place. I didn't need to be bothered. But unfortunately, we had four dogs. But they were in a dog run, though, most of the time, except for the golden retriever, you know. But that one was a joint custody dog, so it went with Josh to his dad's and then back to my son, I mean, back to my husband and I. So, yeah, that's the way, you know, people are with their dogs. But cats are easy. Don't you think cats are easier, Melissa, than dogs?
Yeah, they don't. I like dogs better, though. But I really like my granddaughter's cat. It's cool. But she's going home in March. I'm thinking about bribing her to let me keep it.
But cats don't like to be in cars as a rule. Dogs love it.
Well, this cat does good in the car because it went from Ohio to Kansas with us, and I was very happy about it.
Oh, good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
When I went up, when we had the fires here, and I took Cheyenne with me for a week up to Denver, and, you know, as soon as you turn and go into a different direction, they start crying again because they're, like, trying to zero in on the directions on how to get home, like in the movie Far and Away from Home with the dog and the cat. So they're, you know, they keep their senses going, like, where are we going now? You know, why are you going west? I mean, they're not thinking that, but they're, like, starting to, you know, get anxiety ridden. But, you know, I should have got some Calm Sporté for her, but she was so happy when we were heading home. She could feel the difference, you know, that we were going back down to New Mexico and wasn't anxiety ridden at all. So. But, I mean, I wasn't going to leave her here because it got really smoky over here. You know, we had all those fires thanks to the chemtrails and controlled burns on windy days. So that's hopefully that's not going to happen anymore, but you never know. I haven't destroyed this town yet. My sister, a friend of mine, we call each other sister in Jesus. Anyway, she moved to Angel Fire, and there's only 1,500 people living there, and they have a 5G tower, and they put it you know, right behind her house. And she ended up with Graves' disease.
Wow.
Her thyroid got affected by it. She ended up in the hospital, and they were trying to stick the thing up her nose and the whole nine yards, and she slapped the person and, you know, and had to get lab work done to find out, you know, why she has a hyperactive thyroid. And she lost a lot of weight, a lot. So I don't know. I told her, you know, that's got to be the tower. It's got to be. But
they erected one in the field across from mine as well.
There's one near where you live?
Yeah, I live next to train tracks here and coming out of the city, and on the other side of the, there's a field at the other side of the train tracks, and there's one of them there.
Yeah, I probably should get some glutathione, NAC, and EDTA. You know, like.
Yeah, I had some other ideas, but we'll see.
I know. What's his name? Does that on Sons of Liberty? He's been on one of the shows. I forgot Mark something, and I guess in England that they burned one down in the UK.
It's the right job.
You're in Ireland?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they don't go that far. How far is it from your house? The frequencies don't go, but maybe 1,000 feet.
Well, it's been here a while, and I haven't noticed any difference myself. So we might just be out of proximity, but it's still relatively close. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's when they start putting them every, in these cities. There's this guy named Aman Jabi that is on Facebook, and he lives in Kalispell, Wyoming, and they're threatening to put him up all over there and with LED lights. And he worked for the tech industry for 27 years, and he created facial recognition stuff. And now he's speaking out against it because he tried to get away from it, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. But he's one of the ones that created the facial recognition. Go figure. But
you reap what you sow, huh?
Yeah. But he's leading the charge for that area. That's where Chuck Baldwin's at too, right there in Kalispell. He's a really good pastor out there. And but you know, Chuck doesn't even know about him. I keep emailing him, but Chuck doesn't read his emails. They're filtered through his secretary. But because it's coming, they're gonna do it, you know.
Well, these new street lights that have the LED light in them, if you look at the top of them, they all have a little knob, and they're 5G transmitters. So it doesn't matter how far the 5G tower is from you. If you have the street light with the transmitter, you're still getting it. You're still
right,
getting the way.
Yeah, you do get the frequency there. Yeah. Yeah, and those LED lights are really bad, too. It can blind you. Especially
they're very bright,
And it's getting harder find regular light bulbs in the store. But I bet pretty soon we won't even be able to find them. Every time I see them, I buy some because I don't like the LED in our house. I don't like them in the
store. Yeah.
Well, part of the problem that we're having is getting truth, because too many of these different topics that we're talking about, you'll get one so-called expert or whistleblower says one thing, and then somebody else says another. And, you know, it's just like I said, I worked in nuclear power, so everybody's got an opinion on whether nuclear power is safe or not. I spent nearly 40 years in nuclear power plants all over the country. As far as I know, I have no health, deteriorated health due to that. So, again, everybody's got an opinion, but what we need is the actual truth. Now, like everything in this world, everything has a risk, okay? And you live in radiation. The sun radiates you every day. Granite radiates you. Coal that they burn in the coal-fired power plants and all that, that coal emits gamma radiation. So a lot of things in nature also radiate. And your body was designed to handle that. Because typically what radiation does is it destroys cells. And as long as it's not destroying a tremendous amount of cells, the body will take the damaged cell and replace it, and you will continue to function. Like everything in the Bible says, all things in moderation. So, like, when
right,
I work...
Right, but overloading us with all this, super electric, I mean, the electric is so bad, I can, this is the truth. I was in my granddaughter's room, and she left her TV on, which I'm not happy it's even here, but anyways. I stepped on the extension cord. I could feel the electric, and I had shoes on. The electric is bad. There's a book called The Invisible Rainbow, and I get buzzing in my head. It just started last November. If I'm around too much electric, and I don't know if it's because they changed these lights out here to the 5G or what it is, but it's crazy. And I think that all this stuff is not good for us. All this electric and 5G and LED lights. I mean, I don't know anything about nuclear, but I don't think it's good. I think it started off good with the electric, but now they are using it against us. Okay. I just feel that because of this buzzing I get in my head when I'm, even when I take a walk, certain transformers I walk under, I can hear the buzzing in my head. It's crazy, and it sounds crazy when I talk about it, and I don't talk about it too much because it sounds insane, but I'm telling you the truth.
You can hear it, Ari, 100%.
Well, I do know if you go near a transformer that has high voltage going in one side and being reduced down to something like for the house or for a business, if there is a high humidity that day, you will literally hear it sparking. You will hear a buzz. If it gets high enough and it's near the high tension wires, you'll actually see a glow around them. It will be so intense. So, but 60 hertz, I'm not sure personally if that's the danger, but you have to understand something. You can run a high frequency signal over the same wires that your electricity comes into your house. Did you know that? And if you remember when we used to have, when internet was first developed. Remember, we used to have you could use dial-up, and then we went with what was it called? D something. Anyway, what they were doing was taking your digital signal and putting it on the house wiring and transmitting it out. Now, the phone company did it too, and it went over the phone lines, but there were people who could take that same signal and transmit it over your power lines and do who knows what they were doing with it. But the point of it is, and you're right, we are being surrounded with so many of these things that, and we don't have the truth as to what these things are doing, and that's the problem. We can't get straight answers from the people that say they know the facts about them, so we don't really know if it's harming us or not. Now, some people have sensitivities. It's like everything else. You know, I know some people that can't drink alcohol because they just go crazy with it. Other people have to be careful with sugar. Other people have to be careful with all kinds of things. You may have an innate sensitivity that makes some of these devices much more harmful for you than for the guy next door. But we're all at different levels. These are all different things. But the main thing that I'm concerned with is the fact that if it's not natural, you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh made this world that we would be in total health and everything we needed would be natural. It's all of this man-made stuff and all of this glitz and glitter and high-techy stuff and everything else. That's what's causing the problem, because they're not natural. They have to bring metals and different things and elements together that in nature, that just doesn't happen. And so, you know, that's the concern I have, is what's it doing to the balance in our bodies and even in the atmosphere and in the vegetation and the animal kingdom. What are we doing to all this with all of this junk, all of this energy, this radio frequency energy that we're pumping through the atmosphere? It's kind of scary in a way.
Yeah, where I live, we have a 4G tower, and I bought some organite from this company and went out up. It's up by the high school, by the track, and I put a couple of these organite discs out there, because there's It's called thekembo.com, the company.
Mm-hmm.
And the discs, and she claims that it helped keep, you know, it's called DOR. Maybe Matt knows a little bit about it. That if you put that stuff around there, it'll move the bad stuff up and away. You know, if you could find a company. I mean, her stuff is pretty inexpensive. It's got aluminum in it, it's a disc, and then it's got a copper wire in it. I think Amanda knows about this stuff as well. And I put Shungite all around my apartment, and I put it in all my water bottles. And when I got here, they did not have a smart meter on my apartment. Well, it's next door, you know, 2 meters from my neighbor. It was not a smart meter, and you know, I paid and got the deposit and everything else. And what do you think? I go to move in, and there's a smart meter now back there. So I put Shungite on the top of the smart meter, hoping that'll, and it's next to my bathroom, not next to my bedroom or anything, so it's not as bad, even though I spend a lot of time in the bathroom when I can't sleep, you know, waking up, you know, with the elderly thing. And but you know, I got real paranoid when I saw you know, so I try to, you know, figure out some ways to deflect all of this. So I've got Shungite disc, and you can put one in the, not Shungite, but a organite in the refrigerator, and it keeps things fresher in the refrigerator too. So you look up the Kembo, Chechembow. They're Jewish, though. And she's actually done a lot of bringing water, you know, bringing rainstorms to places that are dry. And they hate Jane Weems, and because he knows about it, and he doesn't seem to, he just wants to be on the soap box every Saturday saying the same thing over and over again, and he won't admit about the storms that came through, like Lake Mead and all that, and that they had already brought a whole bunch of this stuff out there and moved the storms in a way. I mean, you know what you know what it is, don't you, Dan? Organite?
I've heard of it. I'm not an expert on it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really interesting. It comes from Wilhelm Reich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who was also Jewish, but I don't think he was a practicing, you know, Ashkenazi mean person or anything. So.
You anyway. Talking about Reich? Reich was a no. Jew?
No, Reich. R-E-I-C-H, Reich.
Oh, Reich. 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 Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. They tried to silence him because he developed this organite and talked about the orgone energy. Orgone energy, you probably know about that. We'll look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of people are doing it, making the discs and bringing rain to the areas. It's almost like when I used to go down to Gallup, when I lived in Gallup, New Mexico, right by the train tracks, they have in the summer, the Native Americans, the Pueblo Indians, come down there and they dance. And sure enough, it's a rain dance. You know, every afternoon it would rain. And they say that it's because it's the orgonite from the dancers. And I kind of think it's true. So even though in New Mexico we always used to have afternoon rain showers, but not in the last maybe 10 years because of the chemtrails. We call them the monsoon rain season,
mm-hmm.
which you can have in Florida all the time.
During the rainy season, yeah, we get we're in our dry season right now, but when the rainy season comes. Leo, you were showing up here on the screen. Were you trying to say something, or was it just background noise?
No, I haven't. I didn't try to say anything, and it's been really quiet here, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes even just breathing, your mic will pick it up sometimes, and it shows up green on the screen. I thought you were trying to say something.
No.
Okay.
I'm just listening. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. And we got Charles joined us too. Charles, welcome. Your other call's over.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. I'm sorry I'm late. These calls are important to me, and I'm sorry I had a scheduling conflict there.
Oh, that's okay. I'm recording it, and I'll have it listed on the archive for 2023 page. So if anybody wants to catch up and see what they missed, we've been kind of all over the board talking about health issues and different things that are going on and the need for us to stay as healthy as possible and the great need for us to be as self-sufficient as possible. Whether it's in, you know, building our homes and our structures, whether it's our plants, our animals, whatever, we have to learn how to deal without the beast, because pretty soon the beast is going to cut us off. At least that's my opinion. I yield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I would suggest that our top priority should be building our communities of trust, of people that work together and help each other out. I think that's the ecclesia, the church. That would be my only thought on the matter there, Dan.
Yep. I agree. We need to the community idea. But, you know, it's really weird. I hear about a lot of communities, but yet the people I know personally, we seem to be struggling trying to get this community idea going. I mean, it just seems like roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And yet I know up in the Ozark Mountains, the central part of Florida, the panhandle of Florida, parts of Tennessee, the Carolinas, even up in Pennsylvania, there are communities coming together and doing things very similar to what we're talking about, but yet the groups that I'm in communication with, we all seem to be struggling trying to form these things. So I don't know if we're missing something or if there's a reason for it, but it seems kind of strange to me. Why are we having so much trouble getting getting ourselves onto a piece of ground somewhere where we can do with the things we've been talking about. I yield.
Thank you. I don't want to come in and start hogging, but there's essential elements. It's scattered, like you say, right now, and there's a few pockets where people are doing good things, but we're on the edge, in my opinion, from my perspective. That's all I'm saying here is we're on the edge. Ooh, we got some background noise here. We're on the edge of using technology and social organizing strategy for community building. We're putting together the picture puzzle pieces. And like Eric talks about a watch, or I like the example of an AR-15 with lots of small parts in it that all have to fit together. But once you got them all fitting together right, you can accomplish some real powerful stuff, like an airplane or something. You know, once the engine parts and everything is together, you can accomplish some real powerful stuff. And maybe we're kind of like the Wright brothers here before they got their first liftoff. Okay, they know it'll work. They've done the math and they comprehend the physics, and they know that that contraption can fly. They just haven't quite got it done yet. And so I think that's the stage we're at, because once we realize how that Exodus 18 model is going to bring God's Holy Spirit to this earth to bless us, boom, then the concept will grow. It will catch popular imagination like wildfire. And at that point, we will start to take jurisdiction away from the de facto, and we will start responsibly self-governing in our own communities. I believe this can happen real quick and efficient, but we're still at least a few steps away from putting it all together there. I yield.
Yeah, I agree. We all know it'll work because it's part of God's plan, so it has to work. But we all have to get sort of on the same page mentally and physically to bring it to fruition. So, and a lot of us are just impatient. I mean, you know, a lot of us have been awake for decades seeing this whole new world order and this degeneracy and demonic takeover of the world, and these psychopaths and sociopaths that are running the show. It's disgusting as hell. I would have thought mankind, well, first of all, I was disappointed when we decided that it was okay to murder a baby. And even before that, we were okay with changing it from being called a baby to a fetus. That was a very, very bad thing. And then shortly after they got us used to calling them a fetus, now it was easier to convince us it was okay to kill a thing called a fetus, because they disassociated the baby. So I was disappointed that there wasn't revolution in 1974 when we decided it was okay to murder babies. And it's been going downhill ever since. And it's like, how much more degeneracy? Now you've got drag queens and queers coming into your schools, for crying out loud, putting on drag shows and pornographic stuff right in the classroom with your little children, and people have no problem with this? I mean, you know, now we have gay marriage and it's okay? Well, wait a minute. What happened here? What happened to the people that I knew in the 50s and 60s when I was growing up? Those people are gone.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, what happened to the people's ability to say, no, I'm not going to give up my value system and my morality for your sick New World Order demented bullshit? It amazes me. It's just like, our people have been backing up for so long. I don't think they know they can go forward. You know, they've been backing up for so long that it's become natural to them, going backwards and giving in and giving in and giving in and giving in. They don't even know that there is a forward gear on the car. You know, it's just always going backwards. Unbelievable. Yeah. I yield.
Yeah. Well, remember the American Revolution, probably only about 3% stood up and actually resisted the British Empire. But it doesn't take a large percentage of the total population in order to bring about significant change. So I'm optimistic that we're going to put together something powerful soon. And go ahead. Mm-hmm. Was somebody else trying to say something there?
I think it was just some noise that came over the mic. Kumri says he put something in the chat. He's not able to use his mic. He says, I've been watching Europa, the last battle, and I've since started losing all hope. I really cannot possibly see how. Apparently, he was talking about the fact that so many people are depressed and feeling the anxiety of the times that we live in. So, mm-hmm. And it is difficult.
Yeah. If I might take a brief moment to explain why I am hopeful, that probably one of the best examples of why I remain hopeful, if that's appropriate.
Sure.
Thank you. Probably Dan and at least a few others here have been in courtroom settings where when there's a well-worded litigant in front of the corrupted judicial officer and prosecuting attorney, they frequently, you can see the stress, and frequently they will back up in response to the words you use, and I've seen it pushed to the point so well where judges actually get up and walk off of the bench. They relinquish control of the courtroom because of well-worded arguments by patriots in courtrooms. Okay? And when you comprehend how significant that is, right in the middle of a case, no bang the hammer down, nothing. They just get up and they walk off the courtroom. And at that point, the door is open for a constitutional common law jurisdiction judicial officer to take over the courtroom proceedings. Okay, that's what's open. There's a principle in the administration of justice that justice delayed is justice denied, and so when there's a case before a courtroom, it's supposed to move forward with efficiency. It's not supposed to be delayed just because one judicial officer in the courtroom decides it's too embarrassing to continue right now, so he gets up and he leaves. No, that creates a lawful authority for some other organic member of the body politic, community of the people, that actually comprehends due process of law to go waltzing right on up behind that bench and grab the gavel and the podium and call the whole thing to order again and start actually following due process of law. And that's just the courtroom. The same process can be implemented in county commissioners' meetings. It can be implemented in city council meetings. It could be instituted in state assemblies, the judiciary, Supreme Court, or the Senate or the House, and even at the federal level. These common law principles can cut like a knife, and they can provide lawful authority for taking over de facto governing bodies. Okay, they're a house of cards. They're illegitimate from the get-go. All we need is a nice large group of people backing up somebody that has the words, knows the levers of the machinery of due process of common law to bring the conflict to a well-focused point within one of those corrupted de facto assemblies, governing body meetings. And at that point, we can take control of any governing body that we want. If we've got enough people behind somebody that knows the words to talk the talk right, I yield.
Yep, it's a learning process, and it's like Scripture says, we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, and the coming together is what Ezekiel talks about in chapter 37, where it's equated, or the analogy is of a valley full of dead and dry bones, which is what most of our people are spiritually. They're pretty much dried up, dead bones. And he says, Ezekiel tells us that at some point Yahweh will pour out his spirit. And I believe we're seeing the beginning of that. I really do. I think the spirit of the Father is being poured out. That doesn't mean everybody is going to accept it and change their ways of living. But he's giving an opportunity. He's pouring his spirit out and speaking to the consciousness of his people. And those that respond to that will be the ones that go from being dead and dry bones to living souls once again, spiritual people. And it says that that group of people that do that become a vast and mighty army. And that's what I work for. My fantasy, if you want to call it that, is to live long enough to see the righteous army of our people to come together, the men at arms, to do righteousness and to end the reign of terror that we've got on this earth. And so I pray for that, and I long for that every single day of my life. That's the goal that keeps me going. I want to wake up that valley of dead and dry bones and have them become the warriors that we were meant to be for righteousness, not abuse, not to conquer the world, but to put an end to the tyranny, to the despotism, to the degeneracy that we see in this sick world,
mm-hmm.
to eradicate it so that we can rebuild this world into what it was meant to be. Which means then, at that point, all of mankind will realize that they can be at peace and there's prosperity and health and goodness for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my dream. That's my fantasy. And that's what I work for day and night. So, and we're going to keep working for it. I said a long time ago, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing until Father takes my breath away. And, I don't care about what they threaten to do to me. I don't care about whether I have any material things at all or any money. I don't care about any of that. I made a promise that as long as I can type keys and speak into a microphone, I will fight this beast until it is destroyed. Or he calls me home and takes my breath out of my body. One of those two things is going to happen, but I'm not stopping till one of those two things happen.
Right.
So, yeah, I yield.
That's how God wants you to be. You're a good soldier in God's army. Unfortunately, our Lord and Savior is hurting for good soldiers. Okay. So, instead of fantasy, I like the word ideology. Okay. I'm a religious fanatic. I admit it. I've got an ideology where I want God's kingdom on this earth. And it's not about me, like a lot of people say, well, you're just trying to take control for your own self. No. The disciple James in his book of James called it the perfect law of liberty. That's the ideal. That's common law. That's the basis. That's the historical basis for common law due process, because under common law due process, the perfect law of liberty manifests. The common law is rooted in Bible law, Exodus 18 and other verses. And so It all comes together, and it's righteous, it's godly, it produces justice, it produces the perfect law of liberty, and it's not about Dan, it's not about me, it's not about anybody else that's working with us. It's about bringing liberty to the people with eyes to see and ears to hear and inclination to recognize that they've got a mandate from heaven too to participate and support people that are out here on the cutting edge, sacrificing their lives for producing a godly, righteous kingdom on this earth. See, that even if you can't be a leader, you can be a supporter. At the qualified elector status under common law jurisdiction, you don't got to be a big leader. You don't have to be a town constable or a judicial officer at the precinct level. You can be just a grassroots qualified elector. Just pay your dues and be called as a juror and when you're called and don't cause any breaches of the peace, and boom, you're in. The load, it's like the Bible says, the load is light. But it is a load, and you got to learn together as an organic body politic, the body of Christ. So, yeah, it can all come together real quick and efficient, but people need to comprehend that there's order in God's kingdom, and they just got to find their place to fit in to the order of God's kingdom. How are you?
Yeah, well said. Well said, Charles. We're past the hour and a half mark, so I was going to go ahead and close unless somebody has more things they would like to discuss or report. Floor is open if anybody has anything.
I'm just wanting to say that I heard, there's a Women Fighting for America group on Facebook, and, they're talking about all the stuff at the border that's going on, and they're coming in from all kinds of countries, not just Mexico, but also in another week, we're going to be in Black History Month, and the word is out that Kamala Harris is going to be taking over in February because it's Black History Month. So it's going to trigger a lot of people. And basically, there's by Jason Versiers, he's got this archaic channel, and he said that the patriotic Christian Reich, R-E-I-C-H, is going to be triggered, because of what's going on, basically. People are getting very upset over, what this country is about and how the changes have happened. And so many people know who's behind it now. So many. So the usual suspects. So who knows if they're going to go into hiding or not, but in the meantime, they've got all their things going on in Ukraine, so maybe they'll be distracted while this movement starts going. But I'm just curious, Dan, what you think of Putin.
What? Okay. It's hard to hear you. Are you away from your mic or something?
No, my phone is on a pillow. What do you think's going on with Putin?
I think everything in the major news is theater. I think it's all theater. I don't believe the Russians are our biggest threat like everybody wants them to make it. They make it out to be. I think the communist China is far more of a threat to us than Russia ever could be. So I keep an open mind about everything, and I trust almost nothing. Again, because you got to remember, the goal is to manipulate you and me. Okay, the people that are part of the system, they're all actors and they're all part of the theater. And every piece of this is to drive you and me as Yahweh's sheep in a direction that they want us to go. So I take everything with a grain of salt, and I rely much more on people I know, people with boots on the ground at a location. I trust the Holy Spirit, what it's telling me. I trust my friends. I look at things with a very, very skeptical eye these days, because there's just so much lying and deceiving going on. And I don't really care, to be quite honest, what all the drama in the theater going on is trying to do. Because, again, a lot of it is lies and make-believe, just like I don't believe there's nuclear weapons. I don't believe they have them. I think it's another fear porn thing. I don't think they have a lot of the things they tell us they have. Because if they had them, they would have used them by now. Okay, because then they could have taken total control very easily. So I don't believe they actually even have them. So I don't. Again, I trust my Heavenly Father. I trust my brothers and sisters. And as we said here when Charles is on, you know, the commitment of the warrior class is that until I stop breathing, I'm going forward as fast as I can. And I'm going to do everything within my power to destroy my enemy, which is everybody that's an enemy to the Father above is my enemy. Mm. So, you know, so that makes my world a whole lot easier to deal with. I just concentrate on those things, and I'm not going to let the enemy guide me and make me afraid and all that other stuff. I'm just not going to do it. So does that answer your question?
No, I'm not really concerned with him. You know, I've been watching stuff from Blackbird and a couple other people on, you know, on Telegram, because that, like you say, that is the best place to be. And, you know, people are waking up all over. And you know, and it's almost like about time that, I mean, I you know, for Christians to rise up and stand their ground, you know, against this evil threat that, you know, we know where it's coming from.
Right.
Know, I'm not saying that every Jew is bad. I mean, a friend of mine, what's her name, Diane, she studied the Bible like really. Like, she's dropping out of one of our groups. She was a moderator on Facebook, and she made some kind of statement that we're not completely in the end times, but, you know, there was something going on, and she's getting really into the Bible right now. She's just, like, researching it, and she just wants to focus on that, and that's going to kind of pissed me off, because we've been chatting quite a bit, you know, on Facebook Messenger, and everybody, you know, people from other countries. There's a lady named Geek Peterson that's been putting up a lot of negative stuff, and it's kind of distracting. And another lady friend named Grace that puts up a lot of negative stuff. She puts up Stephen DeNoon stuff, who is a psyop, you know, a big psyop, you know, try to trigger everybody in Tim Brown's group. I mean, it's like, don't pay attention, you guys. He's an Ashkenazi Jew, and he still wears a beanie, basically. So, you know, things
refuse
are
the
a little
black pill.
Huh?
Refuse the black pill.
Yeah,
yep.
So there's, and Laura's no longer on Facebook. She's got a Telegram, and I keep telling her to go to Telegram, because she was paranoid that Facebook wanted her phone number. So, but the phone number they have for me is my a phone that I had a long time ago that I gave to somebody else. They say, do you still have something, you know, 505-224? And I'm like, yeah, of course. okay. So, you know, but Laura would, you know, she got really paranoid. And she started a woman, I mentioned that to her, to Gary, that the woman from Yah, it's called the Woman from Yah Facebook page. And I said to go to Melissa's channel. I told Gary to, you know, get her hooked into Telegram so she can participate in Melissa's group. So she's got good things to bring to the table. But anyway, I don't, yeah. All right, well, is Charles, did he leave already?
No, Charles is here.
Oh, okay. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Jennifer. Good to hear you.
Good to be heard. All right. Well, thanks, Dan, for having this again.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure. I wanted to ask, I think Melissa dropped off, but normally I close it in prayer, but if somebody would like to do that tonight instead of me, I'm certainly open to that. But it's not a pressure thing.
Pressure thing.
So.
No, I don't. I'm
okay.
Not. Yeah, you can do it, or Charles. Charles.
No, you were being volunteered, Charles, but let me... It's okay. There's no pressure. If you don't feel led to do it, then don't let anybody pressure you into it. And I don't mind. I just don't want people getting tired of hearing me constantly be the one doing stuff, see?
It is healthy to mix it up. And if there's nobody else willing to volunteer, I'll assist in mixing it up here. Glory to God. It should come from a multitude of voices, not just Pastor Dan. He's not the only one singing praises and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Father in Heaven. Go ahead. Somebody? Dan?
No, it was just background noise.
Okay. Almighty God, Yahweh, Jehovah of armies, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Yeshua, to show us the pathway to follow the biblical Torah laws to advance your kingdom upon this earth. Please help us to be scrupulous in diligently studying the biblical texts and the insights from the biblical commentators that show us how all of these picture puzzle pieces are supposed to fit together to empower us to establish your kingdom on this earth. Like what James said about the perfect law of liberty. That is what we are looking for. And this is the blessing that Jesus established before his brother James wrote those words in the biblical text. So please allow us to carry on honorably with this grand heritage, this legacy of profound spiritual enlightenment that comes to us through your precious son, Jesus Yeshua. Help us to do so honorably and courageously without getting puffed up with our own inherent glory that comes from you. And we participate in little bits of that glory as we are standing up and speaking out and shedding light boldly amongst the darkness and confusion that it saturates the rest of our modern perverse society here. Please keep us humble. Please keep us grateful. And help us to work together and to prioritize building your ecclesia church, your body of Christ, as we move forward as best we can in the hostile environment in which we find ourselves. And in the name of your precious son, Jesus Yeshua, we humbly pray these things. Amen.
Amen. I love that.
Amen.
Thank you.
My neighbor in Texas. Okay.
Next door.
You're moving closer, so all right, you'll be in Lubbock, right?
Well, that kind of fell through, Jennifer. Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to Lubbock soon.
Okay. All right, well, I'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yes, sister. Take care.
Okay, good night, you guys. God bless.
Good night, everybody. Jennifer,
Charles,
Nat.
Okay. Yeah, good night, everybody.